Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. This is your host, Fran Lewis. Yeah, and I am up to, well, my old tricks. And I'm going to introduce 9 unsuspecting people that are authors who have been invited to my show today for a reason they haven't been told. And at the end of the show, or maybe in between somewhere, maybe I'll be nice enough and tell them why. But until then, let me introduce them. I am so bad. You have no idea. But this is going to be fun because they have no idea why they're here. But they're going to talk about their books. I'm going to ask them 8 really hard questions. And no one even realized that I never sent them the questions. And normally I do, so today I didn't know well too bad.
I think I just figured it out. Okay, but I won't say it.
You can't figure it out because I haven't figured it out.
I think I might.
Okay, well, don't tell me. If you did, you can email me later. And if you like, I may tell you you're right, but probably not. Okay, she's a comedian. She's got a lot of books, but she likes the word dead a lot. Dead on arrival, dead comics standing in, just a lot of dead people. But she's a really good reviewer, and she's a great author. She's Karen Voin. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Fran, and everybody else.
Hi.
She's my victim number 1.
You are.
Don't worry about that. Now, she's the author of the new blockbusting best-selling book, ebook, Dilsett. And those of you that haven't downloaded it, I don't know what's the matter with you. It's hot. It's really steamy. And she's Delaney Oaks. Hi, Delaney.
Hello, Fran.
Hi, Delaney.
Everybody else, how are you?
Now, we've got a brand-new author, so we don't want to scare him away. He's a debut author. His book is fantastic. He's going to be on the show January 16th, if I don't scare him off. He's David Derricott, and the book is Internal Security, and it's his debut novel. Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi, Fran.
Hi.
I'm here.
Oh, good. You're brave. And now, he's one of my favorite authors, and he's author of the Beck series and his book, The Exiled Element. Just download all of them, and you won't be sorry. John Betch is here. Hi.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, and this next author is going to protect me because he's the FBI, so you better watch out. And he's going to make sure that I don't get in too much trouble. He's the author of The Sacrifice, and he promised to make sure that, you know, I would have no problem. And if he does, he's going to take care of it. Mark Boughton's here.
Hey, Fran, and unsuspecting authors.
Yeah, I can't believe Michael Chabon is here. He was supposed to protect me from the other side. Now, the next author, you know, she's got a pseudonym. She's got a whole bunch of names, but her book Secrets is out, and it's Marcia Casper Cook, and you never know what she's going to say or going to be up to. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, maybe I won't talk for a change. That would really be a surprise.
Now, this is a great book that I read. Dinner at Dead Man's, a Laredo Martin series, and I like his techno book. I'm waiting for the sequel. This is C.J. West. Hi, C.J.
Hi, friend. Great to be back with you.
Oh, I'm glad you're here, too. Such brave people. Now, he's my marketing guru. He's the author of Tales from the Dewdrop Inn, and I have to tell you, Ken, my husband read Widow's Walk, and he read Memoirs from the Asylum, and you're his new favorite author, except for my mystery guest, and that would be Kenneth Wein. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, and he read them, and he grabbed them out of my hand. Okay, so now
your husband, I love him.
Oh, yes, you should, because he doesn't read anything that I read, but he did read he read Top Producers, and he read Gods of Greenwich, and he read all of Norm Bonacourt's book, and that's who's here with us today, and he read The Trust Anyone Given Back, Norm, what can I tell you? As a matter of fact, he made me get it back from my cousin, who was reading The Trust, and I said, no, he has to have it first. So welcome to Norm Bonacourt and all my unsuspecting people today. Okay, so I'm going to ask the very first question of Norm, and anybody else that wants to answer it afterwards, well, what can I say? This isn't a unique question, and they're all 8 questions I've never asked anybody before, so that should let you know that I'm up to my trick.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, well, you should be. What can I say?
We're in trouble now, folks.
Well, somebody that wants to chime in afterwards, or if we digress, well, then we'll just think we're on Marcia's show. It won't matter.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's a good plug for the network. Very good.
Our network is great in the world of Inc. You never know what's going to happen in this world, and you never know what's going to happen with us. So I figured I'd try something different. Okay, Norm, if your character, Grove O'Rourke, came to life for this interview or show, what would your main character say about your book and say about you as an author? And why would this character say that you are one of the, you know, well, that's all I'm going to say. Otherwise, I'll give it away. What would your character say about you as an author and why he enjoys being in your books?
Oh, you know, if a guy came to life, if Grove O'Rourke came to life, he'd probably look a little bit like Ryan Gosling from Hollywood fame. I saw Ryan Gosling in Fractured, which is a fabulous movie, but he'd look a little bit like him, and he would say, "Gee, Norb, I know we're a lot alike, but I'm 30 years, or excuse me, I'm 20 years younger than you are." So, he'd also say, "Norb, I know you think you're my alter ego, but I'm a better athlete than you. I ride a bicycle faster than you. I have a modestly bigger business on Wall Street than you had. Not too much bigger, but modestly bigger. And, you know, just what do you think you're doing trying to write about me and trying to be me?" So I think he would give me a little bit of stick. And there, you know, I get asked all the time if Grove O'Rourke is my alter ego. And I guess the short answer is yeah, because I lived on Wall Street for 20 years. I have to tell you, it was a soap opera 24/7. And I've got enough material to write the next 50 years because of the crazy loons that were running around the quarters of finance. And so I suspect that Grover Work, a live living person, would say, "Gee, do you have to tell everybody? You'll ruin what's a good thing for me." So that's where it starts.
Well, you know, does anybody else want to take that one before I ask the next one?
I
will. DJ, what about you? Or you go ahead. Just talk.
Okay, I would say, but Laura would say, Karen's nuts. Got an attitude. And
that's
good for her.
I'm waiting for your next one. Was it Daytona?
Daytona Dad, and it's due to a few glitches with the cover art. It's probably going to be sometime in January, or at least by Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, that's good, because it'll give me time, because I've got 27 books inside, literally, and they're staring at me, and they're not getting done so fast. But
I'll give you a break. Oh, wow.
I'm giving my eyes a break. I've got four sitting at me. No, and I've got a nephew who needs me to help him with his project. That comes first. So anybody else want to take that one? What would your character say?
Yeah, I want to put in a line here.
Oh,
my Marilyn, my second protagonist from Memoirs from the Asylum, would answer the question. Actually, she'd answer it more for you, Fran, but maybe for all of us. She would quite simply say, "They're coming to take us away."
I wish they would. after this
now I know I gotta read it.
You have to read his book, because Marilyn was my favorite character in the book.
Wasn't she awesome? Kenneth, does that mean that we get to pee on the chair?
You can pee anywhere you want.
Oh, God.
Oh, now I know I have to read it.
You have to read it. It is awesome.
Yeah.
It's one of the best
books
ever.
I have it sitting here staring at me in my pile, so I've got to get to it.
You've got to get to
Well,
that,
knock the books on the floor and pick them up with that one on top and read it next.
Yeah, you really should, because by that time, you're not going to be yourself after you read it. Okay, Mark, I'm going to go
about myself now.
I know. What can I tell you? You know, if you were yourself, Karen, you wouldn't be here. I only find people that are definitely way out there. Okay, John, if Beck could tell
you,
that's just why, because she's so much like me, and we review books, and we're comedians, what can I tell you? But her reviews are funnier than mine. But and even her pictures on Facebook are hysterical. John, if you could, if that could, they're hysterical. Yeah, some of your cartoons are a riot. I see everything, people. You can't hide from me. John, if Beck could come to life, what would he tell you as to why he likes being in your book? Because he's my other favorite character.
Fran, he would, I think he'd have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with me. I think he'd thank me for making sure that he's always prepared. Because that's kind of his big thing, is he likes to be ready for every circumstance. He'd probably ask me to make his life a little bit more boring, because it seems like unusual things keep coming to his small community. And although he enjoys the excitement, sometimes there's a little more danger for his family than he'd like to have. But he also would thank me for letting him express his sense of humor, even in times in the books that are pretty serious.
Well, your books are so good, because what I really like is that there are no bad words in the book. That's what makes me so happy. Sometimes I read books with so many bad words, I just don't read the bad words, because really, that's just not.
However, okay, now I will say something. I have to
go ahead.
Say something.
But sometimes you have to put them.
Okay.
Well, your kind of book is
Erotica, no, but almost every book that's an adult book, that's a drama, contemporary, that you swear.
Yeah.
It's part of the way people talk. So
yeah,
I think it's just.
That's good.
I mean, this is not actually the way I talk, but characters,
she
and
know.
It makes it livens it up. It just, and people do like swearing. They love it. That's
but when it's on every other line, though, it gets a bit much.
I know, but Sopranos, they swore all the time, and look how successful that was. I mean, if you look at some of these successful things, I'm not saying it's about me, what I'm saying. I'm saying what other people like. They do like some of the words, and it's not always easy to write them for the authors, and I think people think that the authors, sometimes that's how they talk. They don't. It's just their characters talking.
She really does, and she's very refined. We would never let her do that otherwise. Okay, I've got a question for everybody.
You should read Tom Wolfe's book, because he talks about body parts so frequently.
Oh, God.
I cringe, and they're not swear
really?
Words, but, I mean, they're just everyday words. And, you know, they're not like four-letter words, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm more
yeah.
comfortable with the swearing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's
all right,
good.
Well, okay, here we go. We got two for the swearing now. We got two. Okay. Then we have Bethany Cross. We have Bethany Cross, who does my shows also. So I mean, we got three probably.
You know I'm in.
Okay.
You know I know you're. We know you're in, Bethany. We do know.
Right.
We do know. What can I tell you? I'm just.
Right.
What can I say? Okay, I've got one for anyone that wants to answer this one. Maybe Mark will take this one, or CJ, or somebody will take this one. If someone attacked your main character and said that he or she is weak, too defiant, needs more backbone, or something more to keep the reader interest, how would you deal with this negative comment, and what would your answer be to turn a negative into a positive? If somebody attacks your main character. I like that question. I made it up myself.
I want to answer that one. May I answer that one, Fran?
Oh, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, this is Delaney. If anybody said to me that about Cooper in Dulcet, I would have to tell them that he is a product of his environment, and that's just how he is. You know, he's not a weak person, but he's had a whole lot of things happen to him that don't happen to most people. His father is dead. He thinks his mother is dead for 20 years, only to have her show up and say, "Hey, I need a kidney. Mine are failing," because she's been a drug addict for years. And there are a lot of other things that have happened in his life that make him who he is, and then everything just sort of falls apart at one time. So he's not dealing with it any worse than anybody else would. He's probably dealing with it better than a lot, because he has the support of his family. He has the support of the woman he loves. He has his best friend, who's a priest. So his support system is strong and keeps him buoyed up. My answer for any of my characters would be that. That's just who they are. And I don't make them that way. They make themselves that way. So, you know, if somebody thinks that they're not strong enough or smart enough or whatever the criticism might be, that's just who that person is, and I'm being true to the character.
That is great. Anybody else want to take that one?
Yeah, absolutely. My characters, my characters, by their very nature, most of them are on the very bottom rung of the world. You know, they're hanging out at the Dewdrop Inn. They're inmates at the asylum, or even worse, they're staff at the asylum. I mean, you know, they're pretty pathetic people. And that's where they come from, that's who they are, and that's what gives them their richness. Because in the end, my hope that my characters, like you, like me, like everyone, that we're all more nearly human than otherwise.
This is so true. Is anybody, Norm, what would happen if somebody attacked Grove? Because besides the fact that I would not like that and attack them with you, what would you do if somebody attacked your main character? I mean, I've reviewed a lot of books, and sometimes the main character, you know, can be kind of annoying. Sometimes that's just the way they're supposed to be. Like Delaney said, that's who they are. So what about if somebody attacked Grove or one of your, or Annie? I like Annie.
Well, let me ask, do you mean physically or verbally in that way?
Verbally, any way you want.
Well, listen, if physically, Grove is an underdog. I mean, he can hold his own. He's a great athlete. He bicycles hard, but he's an underdog. And he got in a fight in the book, The Trust, but he got clobbered. His real skills is that he is an everyday kind of a guy who holds his own because he's smart and he's really snappy. So if somebody attacks him personally, I think he can hold his own in sort of dishing out the verbal grief. You know, he can really hold his own in a battle of wits. And if it's physical, you know, he can take a punch, but you just don't know. And I think that that's really important because, frankly, I'm tired of all the superheroes. I like guys like the character that Cary Grant played in North by Northwest. You know, he's just bad guy.
Yeah.
He's just bad guy. He's going about his business, and he got sucked up into something above and beyond his control. And I think what's important to me as a novelist is I want to see the guys who are good prevail. I want them to prevail against immeasurable odds, despite their own physical or mental limitations, whatever they might be. Mm-hmm. So Grove would hold his own. And I think if he saw anybody threaten Annie or a kid, he would absolutely go ballistic. And I'd probably use a four-letter word for ballistic, but I know this is a family show, and I want to.
Well, this is the one-time block talk.
Well, it's not exactly a family show, but we don't swear.
We're very careful, right, Marcia?
Yes. We don't swear, but we're not family, I don't think.
Would anybody else like to take that one? Mark, what would happen if they attack one of your characters when then he's good FBI, he would just take care of it?
Well, Fran, I tend to have my characters that know karate and judo and some self-defense things because that's kind of what I was involved in when I was in the FBI. Mm-hmm. But I don't like the superhero type either, so sometimes I'll have him outmatched or outnumbered or whatever, and he'll tend to use his brain as to getting out of the situation rather than just sheer brawn or because he's this wonderful fighter. I think that lends a little more balance to the person.
Does anybody else want to take it before I hit you with the next one?
Yeah, Fran, I'll chime in. This is CJ.
Oh, good. I was just gonna ask you because that's great.
Yeah, Morano is an interesting character. No one would attack him for being weak because he's 6 feet, 320 pounds, and he kind of enjoys beating on people. But
I got that.
And he, the interesting thing, he's based on a real person. So this is someone that I actually know, which is interesting. Where he might be attacked is that his own ideology is kind of at war with itself.
Mm-hmm.
Lorado does work to help recovering addicts. And a lot of what he does, his work and his team and the way he conducts himself, is to help people. And at the same time, he's really frustrated by the stupid things that they do and the way they screw up their lives. And so he's, on one hand, helping these guys, and then the next minute he's ranting about their mistakes and the tragedies that they cause in their families and the community.
You got my favorite topic there when you talk about antiques and junk, too. I love that part.
Yeah, and you know, it is, he's also, the one place you could really criticize him, and this is a true story, my father used to rant at him constantly. He used to park his car next to a dumpster, so anything he wanted to throw away, he could.
Uh-huh.
But you still couldn't sit in the passenger seat because it was covered with junk. He'll have a lamp and a quahog rake and his deer stand and, pipe wrench and wasp spray and candy and whatever, all packed in his car everywhere. But it's a one-passenger vehicle. There are four seats, but it's packed to the ceiling. It's
Oh, wow. Before I forget, because I'm going to forget, and I promised someone that I would do this. Before I forget, I just want to take a shout-out to the doctors and nurses of Joe DiMaggio Hospital for the outstanding work that you do there and for saving my niece Danny's life and for figuring out what was wrong with her when two hospitals could not. So for anybody that's listening out there in Florida, the Joe DiMaggio's Children Pediatric Hospital, my family wants to thank you so much because you're the reason why I'm on the show today. You're the reason I'm smiling, cracking jokes, and you're the reason that my niece, Danny Nicole, is alive. Thank God. So I want to thank you, and then I'll get back to being serious in about a minute. Okay, I have a question for everyone. What is the one thing that drives you to writing as an author?
I'll take that one. I like to entertain people, make them laugh, as you know. And that's what I get out of it. I'm a bit of a closet comic, so if I can't do it on stage, I'll do it in a book.
Well, your books are unique. They certainly are unique. And Karen
is unique. Well, thank
you. They are, and even your reviews are unique, too, because she's got a sense of humor when she writes them. Now, there's me, who's definitely no sense of humor, and what can I say? Anybody else want to take that one?
But Fran, you do write seriously, though.
I try to seriously write, yes.
You do, but you write serious. When you write serious things, you write your books are serious. They're not.
Yes, and Bertha and Tilly, Sisters Forever, has a lot more humor in
humor,
it.
Humor, because
yes.
That's your personality, right? But the
we
other
try,
ones, right.
We seriously try to do something. Yes, we try to be serious. Okay, anybody else want to take that? What is the one thing that drives you as writing as an author? You didn't think this is going to be a normal show. Please, give me a break here.
I'll take that one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. What drives me as an author is the fact that I get these voices stuck in my head. I know that they're going to send the men in the little white coats to my house one day, but I get these stories and these voices talking to me, and if I don't write them down, they stay there, and they nag me because those characters want their stories told. So I tell their stories. That's what makes me write.
David, what made you decide to write your very first novel? Which, you got to read it. It's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. It's so good.
Fran, this is David.
Yeah, what made you write your first one?
Boy, that's a tough question. I'll tell you, Fran, I think with me, like so many other writers, the driving force is just that need to tell story. Kind of like the person who interrupts someone at a party and says, oh, yeah, I know that, and then they've just got to tell their own story. I'm in agreement with the writer who spoke earlier that sometimes particular situations or particular characters or stories, they just start to evolve in your mind, and they get lodged there. There's something about that particular thing that just demands to be told, and you want to keep seeing it and see where it will go. It may not be good for your brain, but I think one thing that's great for writing and storytelling is just constantly asking what if. And I think you're in the process of, well, what if I made that character do so-and-so? Well, what if someone came in the room and hit her over the head? Well, what if you just keep asking those what-if questions and applying them to what you're creating, and there it comes. And it's not really, I think, so cold and calculating. I find that if I don't really have that feeling for a particular situation or character, it doesn't get written. If I do, it flows pretty easily.
That is great. Tell everybody a little bit about your book, because you're new to this, but Internal Security is a really great book. So give everybody just an idea about your main character. What would happen if they decided to attack him any more than he already was?
Decided to attack Darden?
Darden, yeah. What would happen?
How would he react?
Yeah.
Well, My main character is a small-town reporter, and he's never really made a significant mark in his life, and he has a sense of failure about it. I think, like so many great characters that we come across in literature, he's the kind of character who is constantly asking himself, am I really up to this? Am I really good enough to do this or to do that? And as a result, when he is faced with that kind of situation, he has to grow. And I think any writer on the panel would say, if you don't have a main character who is growing and changing and has a problem to cope with, then you don't really have a story. And so Darden, as a small-town reporter, has always sort of viewed himself as somewhat unlucky or maybe just not quite up to it, but he's never really had that big-time story that's going to propel his career. And then this big-time story does indeed come, and it plops itself right down in his lap. And it's so big, it forces him to change, and it forces him to muster far more courage and far more determination than he ever thought he had.
Well, I've got another question for everyone, and this question might actually give away why I asked you to be on the show, but maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Anybody that wants to answer this one can. Okay. Michael Tabman is here. He should be here. I have to email him the number. He forgot. So I'm going to email him the number now, if I can remember where I am. Okay, but first I want to ask this question. As an author, what makes your work authentic? What gives your work, your writing, that touch that you feel no one else has? Now, I've reviewed every one of your books, everybody here. When I've read and reviewed each of your books, I would know it was you. Believe it or not, Karen, I would know it was you, Delaney, Marcia, everyone. I would know it was you, poor thing, even if your name wasn't on the front cover, which, of course, it should be in larger print, but you know what? it's just, you know, I've decided large print is good, people, for a lot of things. So I would know that it was your name, you, even if your name wasn't on it. What would make a reader or reviewer able to pick up your work over everyone else's? If you were going to plug yourself and tell everybody, just buy, you know, take my book or my work is authentic, what makes your work have that extra touch that no one else has?
I can take that, Fran. It's Marcia.
Go right ahead.
Okay, Marcia. And Madison Montgomery is my other name for my erotic romance books and my other drama and contemporary books. I think that, you know, what makes me as a writer write different characters is because I love to talk to people. And when I talk to people, I listen to their stories, and none of my characters are one person specifically. I take a character, and they just kind of write the story as it goes, and I change it. And I don't think any of my characters, and even in my screenplays, I write with a lot of characters in a story. I don't think they ever sound alike, or I feel like for myself, every time I write a character, it's a different one, and I don't think any of my characters that I can recall, and I've written really tons of characters, I don't think any of them remind me of each other. However, I do have a certain thing that I do occasionally. My editor had pointed this out to me, is that I do use some names frequently. And I don't know why that is.
I do that too.
Do you? Yeah, I don't know why I do that.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea. It's just because I guess if I see a certain name, if you see a certain person, it reminds me maybe of something that brings, and I didn't realize I ever did that till they said to me, "Do you know you use that character?" Because they're so different. So that's what I think makes my books, you know, like for me. I mean, you may know that because you know I write a lot of characters. So I enjoy writing a lot of characters because I love to talk to a lot of people. So that's probably how my writing takes, you know, priority in my life, is that I feel like if I can't talk to people 24 hours a day, I can talk to my characters. So what can I say?
No, that is so true. Does anybody else want to take it? What makes your work so authentic that if I picked up your book and you sent it to me without your name on it, without a cover, that I would know it was you? Of course I would know it was all of you, but that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to take that one?
Fran, I'll take a crack at that.
Go ahead.
This is CJ. Really quickly, I think when I write, I'm writing about something that I feel is important, and I think I dive into the subject matter and I build characters that serve that purpose. And I think that's the one thing that's common. I really do jump around, and the feel of my books really change from book to book, but it's always about something that I think is really important.
Yeah, you always have a message. Most of you have a message in your book. Is Michael Tabman here? Did he get on? Because I just emailed him. Do we have a chat room?
All you have to do is just say the number out loud, because it's not it's just a regular number.
Yeah, I know.
So
I emailed it to him. It's 714-242-5259.
Yeah.
I got that. And I just emailed it to him. I don't know what happened. And I don't see the chat room on, but I don't really care. That's okay.
Yeah, it is on. It is on.
It is on. I can't see it from my computer.
Oh, yes, and we're all misbehaving in it.
Fran, it's Michael Tabman. Can you hear me?
Hi, Michael.
There he is. He's there.
Okay. Hey, Fran, how are you? Sorry about that.
I'm so glad he's here, because I said specifically that I needed to be protected by two guys from the FBI, and that would be Mike and Mark that are here. And no, I don't see the chat room in my computer, but obviously my computer's having its, you know, it's doing its own thing. That's why I can't see what you guys are saying. Maybe it's just as well that I don't. I don't know, but I'm getting upset here because I can't see it. Okay, so somebody better fix that soon. Okay.
Why can't you see it? I don't know why you can't see it, but
I don't know.
It may just be what happens sometimes.
Yeah, mine's acting crazy too. It keeps freezing up and stuff, so it's something in chat.
I think the word is, I think there's so many people on the internet buying gifts and everything, and with the holiday, that I think that's what happened to the computer this last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, this computer is not chatting today, but what can I say? So I have anybody else want to take that question before I hit you with the next one? And then,
what was the question, Fran?
I'll tell you.
Fran, what was the question?
Okay, poor Mike. The question is, first of all, let me introduce Michael the right way. He's the author of Bad Intent. His character, he's going to be able to answer this one, is a real person, Mark Zuccarelli. And Bad Intent is really a 5-volume book of really great. And the question, Mike, was, what makes your work authentic? And how, if you sent me your book without your name on it, how would I know that it was yours? And what gives your mysteries or your murders or your work that special touch that no one else has? Go ahead.
Okay, just so you know, I just finished the epilogue to Bad Intent. It's about 20 chapters now, and we hope to have a launch date of the full novel out by February. So
that's good, because I'll keep a place for you in March. That's all. I've got that covered.
All right, that'll work out. Okay, now you would know it. Well, of course you know me, but my work is, as you know, Fran, as you mentioned, it's not modeled after anyone in particular, but it is certainly based on the personalities I met during my years as a police officer and FBI agent, both cop and criminal. And I take those personalities and I put it into a fictional character. And being that most of my years were spent on the street or in New York City with a task force, I have a very abrupt New York style in my work. You can see that personality come through based on reality. So I think my style, and it's my style, I just write the way I speak, I write the way I think, and some may like it, some may not, but it's me. It's me from the very heart.
We know that. His writing is really great. Now, I just want you to know, I could see all of you in the chat room. Ha ha. And Karen just
said,
"Oh,
shoot.
Oh, shoot.
We're done for now."
They can't. I can't see what you're up to, but now I can. And the bad part is I'm wearing my glasses, so I could really see. Jan is here, too. Hi, Jan. How are you? It's nice of you. If you want to join in the discussion, call in, because this is going to be crazy. And if you want to, you know, chime in, go right ahead. I don't care. Okay, here's the next question for anybody that's brave enough to take it. How much of you is in the main character of your book? And if not, what part of your personality shines through in your main character? If you're nice, maybe I'll tell you before I put Ken on with his marketing guru stuff why I asked you to be here. You're not going to know. You're not going to figure it out. It doesn't matter.
Okay. You want me to take that? Does somebody want to take it? It's Marcia. Okay,
go ahead, Marcia. Take it.
Okay. Absolutely none of me is in any of my books except my children's book, No Clues, No Shoes. Emelina is the character, and she's also on, you know, World Vink, where she does a little column now for the kids. That is, I think, probably most of me. It's a curious kid, and it's also, I talk about my grandmother a lot, and she was real important to me, so I learned a lot from her. So, but my other characters, I don't think have anything to do with my life. It's just they're mixtures of what's going on in the story, and I just kind of make them up because I love it. But Emelina, I think she is probably the closest to me in all of my books.
Yeah, well, Bertha's me, but we know that. And you know, she's serious. She's overweight. Not anymore. I'm not overweight. And she used to get picked on in school, but she's decided to fight back. And, yeah, she's going to fight back at the end of the month when my book comes, when Bertha and Tilly's Sisters Forever come out. But, Michael, which part of you is in any one of your books?
There's always a part of me in my characters, again, because it is based on real-life experience, or at least that was the inspiration. Though they're not autobiographical, the character is not me per se. But I can't help but putting in my own insights into the character, my own points of view. As you know, Fran, I always want to have that story within the story. So
uh-huh.
that comes out through the characters, and I'm very dialogue intensive in my novels. So there is some of me, though I never make it fully me. I remember in Midnight Sin, everyone said, gee, I thought Hollings was you, until the second main character showed up, the guy from New York. He said, oh, then I thought that was you. Neither one was me, but each had my influence. In Bad Intent, it's a partnership between a New York City detective and FBI agent, certainly based on my years when I worked together with the real Detective Zuccarelli. But again, it's not me autobiographical. It's just some of more of my weaknesses than anything else. I try to put my own weaknesses, my own vulnerabilities within that character, and that's how the story comes out.
Karen, you want to take that one? Because I'm reading what you're writing over there. I've got my eye on
you. Okay. See, if Fran can see what I'm writing, and she would probably agree. Laura is 95% me.
Yep.
You get me, you get the sarcasm, the attitude, the humor, and everything. And she's even the insecurity. So, yeah.
Well, this is so true. That's why I love reading.
I'm Laura, 13 years older. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. What about you, CJ? How much of you is Laredo?
You know what? Laredo is actually my brother.
Yes.
He is my real-life brother. And one of the things that I did in the book, and I think I sent you a note on this, I actually appear in that book just as I am, as his brother. And I'm a small character, but I did that because I wanted to give him a sidekick that was realistic. And it's also a way to give my fans sort of a view into my life. There's a little bit on my family background, my romantic background, and kind of my personality sort of dribbled through the story as Laredo talks about me. So that was kind of a fun thing that just happened by accident, but I'm really there. Before that, I wrote a book called Sin and Vengeance in 2005, where I, after the fact that I was done with the book, I really felt like I was really a big part of the hero and the villain. They both had sort of traits of me in there, and I was somewhere in between them.
So you're all wanting to know why
can I say something as for other people about when people are writing characters? I think a lot of people probably on the show don't know that this is Marcia Cook. I am an agent. You know, I've been a WGA agent for about 15 years. But I think a lot of times when people were my clients, I used to take a lot of clients. And after they started writing, and I would talk to them a lot on the phone because I really liked to know them because it was easier for me to sell their work if I knew something about them and how they work. Because I was actually speaking for them talking about the kind of work they do. But I think that a lot of them, I could tell that they put a lot of themselves in it. You know, and then I would ask them, I would say, is that you, you know, because sometimes if somebody was, you know, had a problem or was deaf or was something like that, I could tell they put it in. And a lot of people do write that way. They put things in of their own. You know, I'm not talking about anybody on the panel here per se, but I'm talking about it just can't, sometimes it just comes out that way. But when you start knowing people, sometimes, like if you're saying that you know everybody's style here, that's probably what happens, maybe.
It's hilarious.
Marcia, do you feel... Marcia, do you feel that happens more with new writers? Because I think I did that more when I first began as opposed to now.
No, actually, I don't. I don't sometimes. I just think it's the way the person writes. I don't know if it's new. When they do first person sometimes, I think because sometimes first person is easier to write if you just kind of jump into the story. Because sometimes it's hard to be looking on the outside. But I think when, you know, it really starts, you know, when you start writing, some people do it. But some people, you know, surprisingly enough, which is why it's unfortunate that people don't get published, there are a lot of first-time writers that are really, really good writers. And Fran knows the same thing. And they really write a great story. And they're ready to be out there. But unfortunately, publishers aren't picking people up. You know, that's right. One of the problems, you know. But I think a lot of people write a lot better than people maybe think because if they're not picked up by a big publisher, you might think that they're new. But a lot of people, they sometimes their first projects are really good. The problem is, will they stay in the business and continue on?
Right.
But,
hopefully after I give you the word in about 5 minutes as to why you're here, you'll all stay in the business. I have one
although, like,
more
after 20
question.
Years, I should stay in it, right?
Well, I don't know. You never know. You might not like what I'm going to say. But
I don't know.
Yes. Fran, it's Mark.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
hi.
Hi, I just want to answer that question before you get off of it. I, just like Mike, was in the FBI I was in for 30 years. So I write about FBI agents and policemen and PIs, but I've dealt with all those in my work in law enforcement, so I know how they all talk and the way they operate. And I've seen a lot of bad guys, so I know how they talk and what they think about and what they do. And so I think that lends a lot of authenticity. And then as far as me being in the book, I like to write about things I'm interested in. I have a character who likes astronomy and one that likes all the old movie lore and stuff and things like that. So that's part of it. Right now I'm studying about UFOs, so we'll see on that.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
So before I tell everybody the real reason I invited you on the show, because we're almost into the first hour, and I want to make sure that Ken, Marcia, and Delaney, and everyone talks about marketing, author services, and Delaney's crazy, insane writing group. And I think Karen, you do nano. I don't even want to attack that. Okay, I have one question, and this might give it away, but what the heck? If someone gave you an award or could pick an award you always wanted, what would it be for and why? Haha, got you.
We're not limiting it to writing, are we?
No, if you can get an award for being a stud, Ken, what the heck? We can, you know, that's okay.
That's the one.
That was the one.
Fran, it's time for you to do romance books. All right, Fran, you need to do a romance book here. That's it.
I'm trying. I can do that, but I have to remember that my mother's watching me from somewhere.
I know.
So I have to get somebody to dumb it down. So if someone gave you an award for something, or you could pick an award that you've always wanted, what would it be for? Well, I always wanted the music award in school, and I got the French medal. I was a genius in French, but I wanted the music award because I got 100 in music. I was a concert violinist, and they gave it to someone else. And the reason was not because I wasn't good, but because they said he would never get another award again. And I thought that was kind of mean because he was really good at playing the trumpet.
Yeah.
So if someone could give you an award, what would you want the award for?
Oh, for writing, I think. Smart.
Oh, absolutely, for writing, yeah. For
I
most unfinished manuscript, can I get one?
I have a character in one of my in a book that isn't published yet, and his drive, his great motivation, is to win a Pulitzer for reporting. He's a journalist, and when I was writing that, I was reminded of a session I had in my own psychoanalysis, and I was telling my analyst that I hoped when I died that I would have a good biography in the New York Times. And he looked at me, and he said, "Ken, are you planning to read it?" So at this point in my life, every day that I get a kiss from my wife, that I get a call from my kid, or I get a nice comment, or I get a nice comment for one of my books, or anything like that, I consider that a precious award, and I'm glad.
Oh, that's great.
Here.
If someone gave you an award for the for what you do, what would you want it for? Your other career, or being a writer, or something else?
You're asking me?
For Norb.
Yeah, no, my other career is behind me. I'd really rather get it for being a writer. And who is the speaker that just preceded me? I'm sorry, I missed your name.
That's Ken Ween.
Ken, I think you just nailed it. I think anytime somebody says something nice about what we do, it's really an honor. I mean, because when you think about it, what we do is really very self-indulgent in some ways. You sit around, you come up with all these plots, and you fantasize, and you try to make it interesting for other people to read. And so when somebody actually comes back and says, "Yeah, that was time well spent, thank you," I mean, that's just the bee's knees, if you ask me.
Well, then I better tell you why I actually invited you on the show. So I will read you what I did, and then you can fix it or doctor it. Okay. For those of you that don't know, I run my own review site. Forget not the one on Facebook. I run a real review site. It's called Just Reviews. Yeah, I really do. And that's where authors and publishing companies and publishers find me. And Just Reviews has been picked as a 5-star indie book reviewer. That would be me. Yeah, they actually gave me that award. I don't know why, but they did. And,
congratulations.
You have to change your bio now.
That's not why I invited you on the show, because this way, since they named me an indie book reviewer and they think I know what I'm doing, thank God, I was able to do this for the first time. So to all of you that are on the show today, I am going to present to you so that you can now say that you are an official award-winning author of the year for 2012, presented by Just Reviews, which is my sanctioned review site, presented to Delaney Oakes, Michael Tabman, Mark Bouton, David Darakai, John Betcher, Marcia Casper Cook, CJ West, Norb Vonnegut, Kenneth Ween, and Karen Vaughn for your outstanding novels, and it's a special award for writing and being an author, and it's presented by Just Reviews and me, and that's the real reason why I asked you to be on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Very nice.
Fran, why don't you write that up, and I'll put it out for you, okay? We'll put
not
it out
only are we going to put it out, but you're going to be so lucky because I made the awards. I'm going to email each one of you when afterwards if I can remember what I did with them. That and all the little stars that I put on it.
This is like
but
a T-shirt. This is a T-shirt.
Well, I tried so hard to do this in my best whatever. I also have to announce that all of your books have been a writer author of the year awards, and I did pick five books that are five authors that I emailed yesterday. Two don't know about it. I guess they didn't read their emails. But I did pick five books that are unique as Book of the Year. Complaint, Brain Tumor by John Carides, Fran Orenstein's Book of Mysteries, Peter DeMarco's Background Noise, The Brothers by Alan D. Anderson, and Jeff W. Horton, one of the World Castle authors, Cyberspace. Those books I felt are in different genres and they're really interesting, and I didn't want to pick, you know, just what everybody else does. They're just quite different and they're really great. But you guys get Author of the Year because I just
Thank
felt
you.
That. I wanted to bring to light, you know, what we were talking about before, that self-published authors don't always get the accolades, and even new authors that are well-known don't always get the accolades
right.
That they do. And unfortunately, self-publishing companies sometimes just publish anything, but they don't realize that there's quality out there, too. So, okay. I agree with that.
I definitely agree. Okay. You know, Fran, maybe we should just talk about one thing about you that you're doing now, your new...
Okay, go ahead.
You know, Fran, most, you know, this is Marcia Cook, and almost every show that I listen to that Fran does and all the books that she reviews, authors say the same thing, that Fran gets what they're saying. And that's really important for a review, that somebody gets what you're saying, and sometimes a lot of people don't, but Fran gets everybody. She really does. So what I think she should offer, we talked about this, and I think she is starting to offer this because I'm sending her people to Michigan Avenue Media. Before you get your book edited, a lot of people pay a lot for editing. And when their book is edited, they don't even like it the way it's edited, and they may have had problems before it went to be edited. So I think what Fran is going to offer is she's going to offer a service where she will read your manuscript before it goes to an editor to see if it flows good, if the characters are good, what you should do to make it better. And then the editors, I think, would have a much easier time doing some of the books because I think that sometimes after the editor's done, if the author doesn't like it, then the whole thing doesn't work well, and this is what happens, and they go to somebody else. So I think if they go to Fran first, Fran's not going to edit it. And she's not going to do the grammar. She's just going to read it thoroughly, give you a summary, and tell you if you have some flaws that she thinks. Doesn't mean you have to change it, but this is what she sees because she does read a lot of books. A lot. Is that true, Fran? Yes.
That's an understatement.
I think it would really be a help. I think it's going to be really a help to people because sometimes the editing costs are very expensive. And
they are.
If you have to keep going back and forth with the editor sometimes, they charge a lot of money. So this could help one step closer to getting your book edited with a little less money if they actually have a story that can flow pretty good. And I think Fran can help you. I think that's what you're offering, Fran. I mean,
right. It is. I'm going to do like a plot.
A
plot discussion and setting and mood and pacing and storyline. And there's like 10 things that I wrote out,
I think it would help a lot.
Yeah. And depending on the size of the book would depend on how much it would cost to do it.
Right.
Because I did it for someone. I did one called The Garden. It was 550 pages. And it took me about 3 or 4 days to really type up this summary. And I did it as a practice, so that one I did for free, just to see if I could do it. And, yeah, I could do it. It's up to you whether you want to change anything.
Right.
But it was as simple as the book was okay, but it didn't have chapter headings, and it was told in 4000 B.C., and it was hard to follow his train of thought. And then I said, well, okay, I got it. I know what you're saying, but someone else might not.
The other thing, Fran, was what Fran and I decided I think would be good for her to do is because screenplays. You know, a lot of times screenplays just need a little work before you send it in to a production company. And if it, you know, Fran will read screenplays. screenplays also because she's done that, and she comes up with a great summary that you can use as a synopsis or a log line. But, you know, she's not editing it. She's just going to tell you if it goes, how the characters, if the dialogue is good. And I think that's really important because I think what happens is sometimes a script that's written not so well can really turn into a good script if somebody just gives them a little advice about the storyline. Because in Hollywood, when they read the scripts, it's 1, 2, 3. They're not going to play around and just say you need this or that. They're just going to say, no, we're passing. But that could help people, I think.
No, I agree. I thank you. And speaking to Marcia, you know, and consulting, she does that also. And she's going to have to start charging for that, too, because I think
well,
she should.
The other thing is that you wanted me to talk about, which is I do feel is important. And, you know, when a person reviews a book, and I see it's a lot of work when you go out and post it. So I think that a lot of the reviewers should probably, you know, you do it free and you put it on Amazon. But I think if people want it posted in all the places that, let's say, you post, I mean, because that takes a lot of work. Doesn't that take time?
Yeah, it takes about an hour to do it on about 25 sites.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that people need to, I think if they really want good services, which, you know, I'm not saying that I'm doing these services, I can find you the person to do it because I've done this for 20 years, and I think somebody that's affordable and actually knows what they're doing, because I see the hugest problem out there, people are paying money to people that absolutely don't get what they need, and they've wasted their money, and it's a really tough times now for a lot of people, and I think that Fran and Michigan Avenue Media also will, I'll send you someplace, because I would much rather talk to you beforehand than hear the horror stories that people that have self-published have spent $10,000, $17,000 when it's absolutely not necessary to do that. But, you know, but you first off, you got to start with the right story, which I think would be good for, you know, people to do, to go to Fran, to actually see how to make their story better. And, I mean, and a lot of times Fran will probably just, she may say to you, it's a really a good story. It flows great. Go get it edited.
I will, and if you, you know, and I, you know, it's up to you whether you take, you know, the constructive criticism. I would never be nasty, okay? And moving right along, Ken, are you there?
I am. Yeah.
We're chatting in the chat room, getting bombed, everybody. So what can I say? Yes, we're having a little virtual champagne here, people. We're losing it. Okay, Ken, you want to tell everybody about the marketing group that you've created that I'm still writing, you know, the blurbs and the definition of elsewhere and what that means and the Pinterest group and how come every time I go on Pinterest to pin, it pins on the other one. And then Delaney's going to talk about her writing group. And then who knows what's going to happen after that. Go on.
Okay. Well, let me start by saying what I did is I went online and I said to people, hey, who wants to market their books? You know, if you stop and think about it, most of us are sitting alone trying on the Internet, trying to sell books to a world that doesn't even know we're here. So at least if we could get a few other voices and we all yell in chorus, then maybe somebody will notice us. So I invited people to form a group, and what we do is we post for each other, okay? And it's really a very simple process. I call them blurbs, and I know people sometimes get confused, and they write me this thing as if I was going to write it on the back of their book or something. Now, what I'm talking about is something that can usually is small enough to fit on Twitter, which means 140 characters or less, preferably less, because you are more likely to be retweeted if you use less characters. One of the parts is the blurb proper, what you're saying. You know, like what do Franny and Zoe find at the end of the rainbow? And then you have to have the URL to go with it. And that URL is the link to whatever you are trying to get people to visit. Hopefully your blog or your website or whatever the heck it is. Now, there are two type places we post. Well, we post in two general places. One is Twitter, and the other is everywhere else. And that's where else, what elsewhere means.
Where is elsewhere?
Elsewhere is everything besides Twitter. And the reason is because on Twitter, they use hashtags to tag things. So when you go on Twitter, if you want, like, let's say we wanted to say, where can you get great virtual champagne? The Fran Lewis Show. And then a link to the show. And you wanted to use champagne and you wanted to use it as a tag, you know, to emphasize that word, you put a hashtag in front of it on Twitter. Other places you can't do that. But I also try and teach people to use some of the other great services like Hootsuite and ScoopIt so that you can post on a whole bunch of places. Like I use ScoopIt and I post on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Tumblr all at the same time. Which, by the way, that's figuring out all these efficient ways. Because now here's the thing, though. If you have like 40 people, and 40 of us are posting 2 blurbs for you a week. And each of the 40 of us has, say, between 3,000 and 5,000 people who are following us and friending us over all of those variety of places. Okay. Now, sure, there's going to be a lot of overlap, but that's okay. You're still going to have hundreds of thousands of people getting a shot at your blurb, getting a shot to say, hey, wow, that sounds interesting. Virtual champagne, what's that? You know? And then off they go.
Yeah, but Ken, this is Marcia, but don't you think a lot of people have stopped sharing with everybody? I see this a lot. They're not sharing. They're doing their own thing, but a lot of people are not sharing because a lot of times, you know, a lot of people are not seeing what you think they're seeing. Because if you have 1,000 people, Facebook does not let you, all those people are not getting, unless you give them a special invite, they don't see everything you're doing. They changed it.
Okay, that's true. Facebook is not the best place. The best place is Twitter. And that's why I put so much emphasis on it.
Yeah.
What I do on Facebook, though, and I teach people a whole bunch of these little skill things.
Yeah.
One of the things you do on Facebook is you join groups.
Mm-hmm.
And you post, and like, for example, another radio show on Thursday night, we're going to be doing a special Christmas show. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going on all the religious groups. Like, there's a Christian book readers group. And I belong to everything and anything I can. I never spam them. I just, but now, you know, on tomorrow and again on Thursday, I am going to post a blurb on that. Now, that's a few thousand people. They're not my friends.
Right.
But
right. They'll
all see it because they all belong to that group. And so that's you know, those are the kinds of, I do a whole bunch of things like that to help people learn how to use these techniques. And, of course, the group itself, we've done a lot of great things that I haven't been the instigator for. Like, we have a Pinterest page, and it's actually Pinterest is sending people to our page. They nominated it as some kind of special great page.
Yeah, I think Pinterest is good. Pinterest is great.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the other people in the group actually set this up, this wonderful Pinterest page, and then each of us has our own sub-page, and it's really kind of, it's great.
Yeah, but I'm having trouble on the Pinterest page. I don't know why. I go to pin something on that particular board that they made, that Linda made, and every time I pin, it goes to my regular board because I have my own Pinterest board page.
So wait a minute. Okay, when you sign into Pinterest, it should have a list of all of the boards that you're on. That you
it doesn't have that particular. Yeah, it doesn't have that particular board. That's the funny part.
You have to contact Linda and ask her to send you an invite again. And then when you get that invite, you go to that board and you sign into that board. Once you're signed into it, once you have made that connection, then it becomes one of those boards you have. Like, I have about, maybe 10 boards now.
I had about six or seven,
Yeah,
but you know,
but
I think
a couple of them are not my boards. They're group
you know,
boards.
But they confuse people because some of the boards now are secret boards.
Yes.
Well, I don't have any of those.
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I send out to people. I send up when they have seminars on it. I also send out, you know, so people can learn how to do Pinterest. But Pinterest really can help authors. But, Fran, I think what you might be doing is, if you're clicking the Pinterest, sometimes unless you sign in, it doesn't work right because you can't get it on your board.
I can do it on all of my own boards, but when I can't go to the Select Writers board, I can't, for some reason, I go to add or edit the board or whatever, click on it, and it never, it doesn't allow me to do it. Because I wanted to put my new cover for my new book on there, so I can't seem to do it. I don't know why.
Contact Linda, who's coordinating it.
You know, Fran, send it to me and I'll put it out. Fran, send it to me and I'll put it out for you.
Okay. Does anybody else use Pinterest? Because I like Pinterest. It's great.
Okay, let me ask a question.
I do.
The guy,
I love
you know,
it.
The guys, you know, like, CJ, do you use it? Because a lot of people, there's a lot of men on it, but I think a lot of men don't want to be on it. They think it's just a woman's thing, and it's not.
No, it's everybody. It's everybody.
I'm a man, and I actually do use it.
Isn't it good? Do you like it?
You know what? I like Pinterest. I organize groups of books. I have poker books, writing books, indie books, some business books, and I actually have a pretty big collection of movies out there, too.
Yeah, I like that, too.
You,
right.
I like Pinterest. It's great, but there are certain things that are hard to sort of put up there. If you want to just put a link in, I want to just putting it in where it says edit the board or just edit what it's about. It doesn't always allow you to put everything up there, and if you have an image, you know. But I have to tell you, Michael Pollan's following my board. I thought that was pretty cool. Michael Palmer's following me on Pinterest. I thought that was pretty cool. What can I say?
Very cool.
Norb, do you use Pinterest?
All the above. It's important everywhere and anywhere. I think that the real effort for all authors is to become as ubiquitous as possible. And so, no matter what I think about Pinterest versus Facebook versus Twitter, they're all important to get the word out. I think people at different times in different ways.
Is it me or is there like an echo? I'm hearing things.
Yes, I'm
hearing a lot of noise here.
That's why
I'm hearing like
somebody
must
have a TV on. Somebody either has a TV or their speakers are on.
Yeah, I see. I hear that. That's what I'm saying. Ken, there was that you mentioned Hootsuite before. I haven't explored that. And I do post on Scoop.it, but what I've been finding is that you can create your own content, which I know you can do, and I put the review in or I'll put something there, and then all of a sudden it goes to submit, and for some reason it's not submitting at times. I haven't done Hootsuite. How do you post something on there?
Well, Hootsuite is much more limited. You are limited to a small blurb. The nice thing about it is you write it's like the 140 character, and then you connect to your various sites. If you are going to Facebook, one of the things it will automatically do for you is it will put up the preview, including a picture.
Mm.
So
separate social network. It's a management tool. So you use it exclusively to go on, let's say, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn.
I use it for the social networks. It does have, I believe it does also have its own social, it does Scoop.it. They do have their own area.
I'm not interested.
Okay. Does anybody want to add anything other, any kind of other marketing tool that they have that they use that works?
Well, I think this is Marsha again. I think that a lot of times one of the things we talked about on my show is that the genres, I think a lot of people should try some new genres where they're afraid sometimes to go into like a horror genre because some of the books are just deep, dark thrillers and they're good books. And I think because everybody's in a genre these days that I think a lot of times they're missing books. Like in the erotic romance, it's not all erotic. It's a story. They're good stories, and a lot of them are really good stories, and they're good authors. And the same thing, you know, with a lot of different genres. Contemporary, you know, sometimes you're put in the wrong genre by the publisher, or also Amazon, just, you know, you just don't get in the right groups or whatever because it doesn't seem to work right anymore because people are just too afraid to read certain books, so they just shut certain things out, which maybe they can open up with. Bethany, do you know? Do you want to give the name of our – we have Bethany Cross and Madison Montgomery now have a separate site where we do a blog, and we're putting on people that are on my shows or are romance people, so it's all types of romance because it is hard to distinguish yourself among 500 million people on Amazon. So, and because World of Ink, we do a lot of shows, and we get a lot of – we're featured hosts. That now, you know, your show, all of it, JD's show, all of us are Virginia, myself, Beth, you know, we're all, that our things go out right away. So I think that those are good things for, you know, for people, you know, to join in like a blog tour, blog hop, you know, all of those things to get yourself out there with other people. Because sometimes, like with romance readers, they love to read romance. And so there's so many romances. Sometimes you just need that little push out. So, Bethany, what's the name of the – you wanted to say our site for the romance? Is she off? What happened?
I don't know. I just want to say thank you to CJ West because he has to drop off right now. He has to take care of something.
Okay.
And Bethany, does she have the name of the group, or do you just want to give
it, Marcia? It's Authors Talk Romance. blogspot.com. They can find it on Marcia Casper Cook or World of Ink. And you have a lot of blogs. I mean, everybody probably should maybe, you know, talk about their blogs, I think, that, you know, or something like that, because I think that a lot of people don't know how to do blogs, and they can learn how to do these things. You know, I think that that's one of the things that I didn't ever want to do, like with Michigan Avenue, but I think I am going to try to guide people now because I just see there's such a, you know, I'm on all night, you know, looking at things. I'm trying to write. I'm trying to, you know, figure out things for people to do because there's so much out there. And I think people, if they're listening today, which we usually get a lot of archives also, that
there's a lot of people,
you know,
listening. They
can ask people. I'm, like, not afraid to ask somebody because I don't know, because I don't know everything. And I've learned in the – I've done 300 shows since Red River, like you have. I've done so many shows that I've met so many people. And there's a lot of good things out there that you can learn from other people. And don't be afraid to say you don't understand something, and somebody will help you. I'll be happy to tell you where you could possibly go to get some help rather than just be out there because a lot of people give up writing.
Well, I want Delaney belongs to a writing group. Delaney, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. I am.
Well, she's
going
to tell you another way that we can help authors, because this is great. She belongs to two writing groups, and one of which I belong to, sort of. She's going to tell you about serial authors and Write Mine, so go ahead, and then we could talk more about how that helps authors.
I'm going to let Karen tell you about Write Minds after I tell you about serial authors, because she doesn't know about Nano and I do, so I thought we could just switch subjects there.
No, I don't care. That's fine.
Okay. Well, serial authors, and that's not S-E-R-I-A-L, it's C-E-A-R-E-A-L. We just did that as a joke. Yes, we do know the difference between serial and serial. It's a group of a few authors, and we're you know, willing to grow. We're taking applications to work together. And we do kind of what Ken does with his Twitter group and the all that stuff. We are supporting each other and helping to promote one another, because although we do have overlap on our lists of friends, we have a lot of people that don't, you know, that they aren't on my list, but they're on Ken's list or Fran's list or Karen's list. And so we get a little bit more exposure, and we're still kind of feeling our way along, but we are very much working on posting on our blog and promoting for each other and helping each other, because by helping someone else, I get more exposure, or Fran does, or Ken does, and we're putting these things out on all these different boards. And I know a lot of people think, well, you know, I've got to do this by myself. I can't share the publicity. there are billions of people in this world. There's enough readers to go around, okay?
Sure.
And, you know, they would, mm-hmm. they might like my books, they might like Fran's or Karen's. So they're not going to just buy one single genre. They may see something in Ken's work that they absolutely love and then turn around and see something in Fran's work that they enjoy too.
Right.
So the same person could buy books from all of us. So working together gives us a lot more exposure.
Let me
add
something to that. Let me add something to that that actually intensifies it. If I post on my, to my followers that there's this great piece by you on Serial,
mm-hmm.
then and they look, not only does it make them more likely to buy my your stuff, it also makes them more likely to buy my stuff because they
exactly.
see me now as a resource, as a gatekeeper, not just
mm-hmm.
some distant thing. So, yeah, that there's a tremendous synergy from
mm-hmm.
mutual support.
Oh, yeah, and sharing back and forth, it makes you look like a more magnanimous person, a more friendly and approachable person, and anything that helps build you as a person and not just a name on the board helps. I'm going to spend my hard-earned money on buying a friend's book, not on buying just some Joe Blow out there who I don't even know. But if I'm building a friendly relationship with these people, they're going to look at that like, yeah, I would like to read her next book. You know, and I'm not doing it to be, you know, what's the word I'm after? Oh, God.
You
I'm
also
not trying
review.
To...
Don't, but you also review, too. So they have to
yes, I
that.
Also review.
Yes.
And that's a great way to build friendships with people. I'm really behind, but I will get them read. I can't read as fast as Fran. I don't think anybody on
nobody,
the earth reads as fast
nobody
as Fran.
Nobody can read as fast as Fran.
So I am really severely behind. So any of my any of the people whose books I have, I will read them. I will review them. It just may not be until sometime next winter, but they'll get done. But, you know, that's a good way to build relationships with other authors. It gets your name out there, but then they're promoting it because here I've got this great review. And so then my name is out there, their name is out there, and it's something that gives us double exposure. But I was on Joanne Vandermeulen's show yesterday, and one thing we were talking about, when I get on Facebook every day, and it may not be till 11 o'clock at night, but every day I go to that little cupcake in the corner, and I click on that, and I send happy birthday wishes to everybody. And that's not just me trying to be smarmy and, you know, say, oh, I'm such a wonderful person. I really want to wish those people a happy birthday because I figure there's got to be at least one person on that list that nobody else is going to say happy birthday to them. And that makes them feel better.
Joanne,
and then they
that's
associate
what her thing is.
That.
She markets. She's a marketer.
Yeah.
Joanne. She's been on
yeah,
your
and
show
I'm,
a couple times.
Yeah, and, you know, so that's a really, that's a way to get in touch with people. And there again, you are building a relationship. You're building a friendship. And I want to be friendly with these people. I don't want to just be another face and another name on the page. I love talking to people. And I love talking to people from all over the place. I don't care if they're writers. I don't care if they're ever going to buy a book. But I'm willing to talk to them. And some people really need that.
I use an 80-10-10 rule. The one on Facebook and places like that, where I will post 80% cannot be about writing. 10% is about other people's writing. And 10%, no more than 10% is about me and my writing. And that, I think, is and I love the idea. I also, every day, I get up, one of the first things I do is I go to the birthday on Facebook. I wish people a happy birthday.
I think the other thing is,
I
think that a lot of people, this is Marcia again, I think that a lot of people forget one thing. Writing, we should have a good time doing this. And I think everybody that I can see now is getting so stressed with all this marketing. I know I have been addicted to this already. I think I'm on at night, I'm on during the day, but I love that I've met all these people. However, everybody needs to try to write and have a good time with it and stop, you know, because it isn't always about selling. It's about writing a good story. And so I think that sometimes if you're writing a good story and you're in the middle of marketing, I think what's happened to a lot of people is everybody's so worried about marketing that their writing is suffering. So I think that, you know, writing should be fun. And I think we all should have fun because this is really what it's about. I mean, you know, and it became such a business where everybody is so, you know, that's why people have stopped sharing. And that's bad, though, because if we share, then we all meet each other. I mean, we all met each other with the Red River shows. So that's, you know, it's a group of people that even though some of us don't do shows on Red River, we're all from there, and we all have remained constant in each other's lives watching how everybody's writing.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love that
I agree
met
with
all
you.
These people. I love that I met everybody. That's the best thing about this whole thing is that I have met people I never would have ever met. And I really
oh,
like
absolutely.
That.
I've got friends that are in Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain. I'm with an e-publisher who's in Ireland. And I never would have met any of these people except for Facebook. You know, and it's been a wonderful resource. But I love talking to other authors. I do. I think it's the most fun I will ever have in my life is sitting down and talking to other authors because where else but a group of authors, particularly mystery writers, can you sit down and talk about how you're going to kill someone and have it just be
right.
knowing that it's just characters. I got with my nano group once at the Panera in Daytona, and we're sitting there in the main room, and there's this thing you can do with a nano book where you can kill Cliff Brooks. It's one of the little things you can do with your story, and I asked somebody, are you going to kill Cliff? Oh, yeah. And so we were talking about how we were going to kill this character off. I mean, we were stabbing and bludgeoning and shooting and setting on fire and all these other horrible things, talking about it. People were looking at us, and one family even got up and moved to another part of the restaurant, just giving us these horrible looks. So like, well, you know, if you can't stand it, just go away. We don't care. Yeah, that was fun.
A nightmare would be for people to read little notes that are in my little book. Kill this one, do that one, do this, do that. You know, this is just how writers are. You know, having a good time writing and enjoying it. So, you know, because these shows get a lot of archive people. So, I mean, if people are listening, just keep listening to not just only our shows. I mean, there's so many good shows on, you know, Blog Talk. And Blog Talk is so, you know, right now there's just tons of shows. And you can get so much information. These last 3 years, I've learned more than I learned the 18 before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that
is so true because I don't think I would have been encouraged to write my two horror books if people weren't so wonderful and supportive of my first one. Speaking of the first one, Marcia and I both have free days today, and of course I got it confused. My book is free on Kindle Prime, Faces Behind the Stones.
Yes.
So anyone that wants to hear about the dead body, the dead person that's going to talk to you and tell you why they're dead.
Okay, Fran, next time I have a horror show, you're coming on.
and maybe
it's like a seance without all the messy, messy prep work.
Yes, that's true. And I'm writing the third one, and Karen better watch out because she's there. I won't even tell you what name she's in, but Karen's there, and Ashley Fontaine is there, too, because they asked to be behind the stone. And anybody else that wants to get there, just let me know.
Oh,
and I still need either Mike or Mark or somebody to help me out with the arson part of the book because there is a story about arson, and I did ask the fire department in where I live, and they finked out on me. They did not, you know, they never called me back. I mean, really, here you go, waking us up in the middle of the night. This is a fire alarm. Get up, you know, 10 o'clock to come out. Really, seriously, this has happened. And they didn't even think to help this person. How horrible is that? What can I say? So, Karen, yeah. You're gonna really be behind some stone. What can I say? just picked up a copy of my free. Oh, good, John did too. You're so brave, people. the first story is what I think happened to somebody related to me. You'll figure that out. And the other stories are based on real life incidents. And I have to tell you, Bad Choices is up for the Turning Pages Book of the Year Award. How cool is that?
Super.
Really cool. Congrats. Yeah.
Wow.
I got at least four votes, so at least it's more than one, so I feel good about that. So if you find the link, you could vote. Otherwise,
you know, I think one of the
problems
is, which you're going to probably agree with, some of the sites these days are very difficult to get on, and there's so much on there. They ask you so many questions. People go, "Oh, forget this. I'm not going to be doing it," because it's I don't know why they don't make it just not less complicated. People don't want complicated. They just want to go on and just either vote or not.
Enough.
Yeah,
I know. Then there's a survey and there's a whole bunch. But I'm on the Wishing Well Awards also. That's supposed to come out in March, so I figured I would beat everybody to it by doing the Just Reviews Award. That's my sneaky way of whatever. Karen, do you want to talk about the right mind, or if you have a mind or any mind?
Right mind is kind of along the lines of the serial authors, where we all get on, we promote each other, we promote our own stuff, we tweet each other. I tweet pretty much everything now. It's just a matter of, you know, getting to know a new family of authors and what they write and support them while they're supporting you. And I think it's a really great group. It was started by Eileen Register and a few other like-minded people like Tony Sins. So far it's great. We're just about ready. We're trying to get ready to launch. And right now, that's all I really know about it. I got my author page on there and everything, and I've been reading other people's tweets. And we give writing advice. We do blogs on different kinds of writing, like killing off characters was one of Delaney's things. I wrote about how to write comedy into your work. And one of the ones I want to put out is about ripping stories out of the headlines, like this last massacre, something I really won't do because it's too real.
Right. Good.
So that's
it's a tough world out there, you know, and that's, you know, we have to just try, you know, to entertain people, and, you know, sometimes I think last week was just hard on everybody I don't know anybody that didn't feel how terrible about what happened, so... You know, I think that's another thing. You could at least express yourself with on Facebook to these families and feel like at least you could say, "I'm sorry," you know, to do that, you know, because a lot of people had that out, which was a nice thing because, you know, sometimes, you know, you need to know that people are with you.
Well, that's nice if you watch Voice, which I do.
Yeah.
The most beautiful thing they did at the beginning of the show.
Oh, it was really good.
Was that beautiful?
Was
they had the names of all of the children and adults that died, and they sang a song, and I just sat there. I was so, I mean, Blake.
It was really
and,
good. Yeah.
To see, it was so beautiful.
It was done so nicely. It was done.
It was done with taste, and they didn't wait for accolades afterwards. Yeah, Karen, me too. The box of tissues definitely came out.
Yeah.
Because I just thought it was just such a beautiful, tasteful way of saying how sad this was, that those poor children and those poor adults just don't have a life anymore because of somebody like that.
Yeah.
And the sad part is that no one, you know, he paid for it, but not really. Does anybody else have anything they want to add? Because Marcia did bring up a good point, and everybody should share their sites and their blogs. I want to thank Norb Vonnecourt. He had to drop off because he has company, but he really enjoyed it, and I do hope I get some more of his work and some more of his book to read. Karen, you want to tell everybody where we can find you besides on Facebook and on my review site?
Well, on Right Minds Authors, which is www.rightmindsauthors.com. I'm also on Serial Authors. My own website is www.karenvonbooks.com. And my new book, Daytona Dead, will be out sometime in the new year.
Michael Tabman got cut off, so I'm emailing him. I want to thank him, and I don't know if he wants to call back in. But actually, he
sometimes it's hard to call in because it doesn't. Sometimes when the show's going, it's difficult to call in.
Yeah, I know. So he got cut off, but he wants to say thank you to everybody. Delaney, where can we find you? And why doesn't everybody just download their set? And when it comes out in print, you know who's going to get it because my eyes are on the mouth. Go on. So tell everybody where. I'm still waiting for the sequel to Indian Summer. That's just a hint.
I know. I'm still working on that. That's taking me a while, but I'm about halfway through. It's called Savage Heart, and I'm about halfway through it, so I'm not sure when it'll be out. Dulcet is available at all the major places, also with Tiergar Publishing, which is T-I-R-G-E-A-R-R Publishing. You can find me at DelaneyOaks.wordpress.com. I also have a small review site. I'm trying to build it up, but I'm too ADD to really focus on it too much right now. It's called DelaneysChoice.wordpress.com, and I also have another site on Blogspot that's called WriterSanctuary.blogspot.com, and those are the places. If I'm not on Facebook, I'm probably on one of those, as well as Right Minds authors or serial authors. I'm all over the place. If you just type in Delaney Oaks, you will find me.
This is so true.
And see that, okay, while you just said that, see, that's the thing. When people are on radio shows, this is a huge boost to their careers because the radio shows go right out on top on Google from Blog Talk. So, and that is, you know, and I think one of the things I might offer, which I think I am going to offer now, are private interviews. If they want a private, because my shows are 4 and 5 people, we have discussions and we have a good time, but we have discussions. I mean, sometimes I have breast cancer shows, other different types of shows, and World Inc. is planning on doing a lot of different shows also. We're going to bring back more children's shows. I think that, you know, we all used to do a lot more children's shows than we do. You know, I mean, there are hardly any out there now. So, you know, and there's a lot of children's authors, and we have the World of Ink for 3 Saturdays. J.D. Holliday does a show where they read books to kids. It's just a very short show, but it's really doing well, and it's
archived.
Oh, it's really good. It's
I talk to the authors on Delaney's Tea Time. We don't really, they do read excerpts from their books, but we don't really focus on the children per se.
Right,
but
we used
that's
to,
really
a
kind
lot.
Of a neat idea.
Yeah, we used to do this a lot. But that's all on the Saturday show from World of Ink, that's what they do, just read for the kids. That's where Emmeline and my character, where I'm, you know, we're going to be working with Magic Block again to get some more children's, because I think a lot of us were doing a lot of the shows. Fran did a show. I mean, we all did shows with children when we were
on. Hey, let me know if you need children's authors, because I've got a list.
Yeah,
and I can find you
people. I'll send it to JD.
I've got a whole bunch, too.
Yeah, just send it to me or JD Holliday, you know, and then because, you know, and it's really good. The kids really like it. You know, and I'm going to do a romance separate show. Bethany and I are going to do a romance show, you know, author talk romance, and we're going to be doing just romance on that because everybody knows I love having the romance people on. We have a good time. Horror people. I mean, so I like to have, like, theme shows because I think it's fun, you know, but I do think if people want private interviews, I'll be happy to give it to them, and we'll do it. These are free shows now that everybody's on. You know, but I'll be happy to do a one-on-one with someone for a half hour if they just want it, you know, and it's going to be very affordable. But I think I can do a one-on-one. I've done that now with one-on-ones, but I think we can offer that because we have, you know, time to do it. We are featured now, so it's good, and people will get that's a really good thing to get out there. I mean, I remember when I went on my show, weren't you afraid the first time you went on?
No. No, I had
afraid.
Delaney back
I was afraid when I went on.
I had Delaney backing me up because she was my first guest, so I knew I was in good shape.
No, but when you went on Red River, weren't you afraid the first time? You didn't know what to expect?
I knew that. I know. Like I said, I'm telling you, I was fine because I had Delaney to back me up because she was my first. I was a little nervous, but I got over it. What can I say? I want to ask David, where can we find you? And John, where can we find you before we run short of time? And Mark, where can we find you?
This is Mark, and you can find me on Amazon.com at Mark Boughton, B-O-U-T-O-N, or at mmboughton.com.
Okay, and David, where can we get everybody get internal security, and what's next? Is he still here?
Uh-huh.
David Derricott. You're David, hi.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is David.
Okay, where can
you
find
you can
your
find
book?
Me at www.daviderrick.com. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Smashword.
Okay.
And you can find my site, daviderrick.com.
And what's your next project?
I have a novel that will be up shortly. I don't want to say in the next few weeks because I might not deliver that, but it will be pretty soon. It will certainly be in the next few months. It's called Wasted. It's quite a different book, and I think people will enjoy it.
Well, I thought you were going to write a sequel to the other one because I like the other one. But we're going to talk about that on my show on January 16th at 3 on Red River. We're going to be talking about that. And CJ, where can we get all of your books?
He's not
and
on.
You
he's not on.
Oh, that's right. He's off. Ken, I'm losing it here. John, where can we get yours? John Betcher, where can we get all the Beck series?
Well, you can get the paperbacks just about anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place that sells paperbacks, you can get them. Right now, they're only available in digital format on Amazon Kindle, and you can also find links to books, and I always have the best prices linked to my website at johnbetcher.com. And those are probably the best places to find me. As far as current projects, I'm working on book 5 in the Beck series. I haven't got a title for you yet. I can tell you that the recent launch of a North Korean satellite impacted the plot to my book. And so I'm going back to my guy at NASA and some more rocket people, and a geneticist, and get some more information to try and flesh out the remainder of that plot. So I'm looking forward to that. But my most recent book, The Exiled Element, dealing with events in Egypt, is very timely as things have sort of flared up there again.
I love it. And, of course, the fact that Beth, you know, proved that she's really strong. And maybe the next time we'll have one of these big forums, we'll talk about women characters and how great they are and how strong they are. And we'll talk about that another time.
Ooh,
Ken,
I
want to
do that one.
Yeah, that would be really good, right?
That's fun, too.
That is going to be fun. And you know what? You never know what I'm going to do next because maybe we'll do – you know what? Maybe we'll do that in March for Women's History. Because that's Women's History Month. That's the educator in me because I know the dates. So Women's History would be really cool. We could talk about a women's character that we think is great in our books or just a woman in history that we think is great.
You know, right. You know, like we don't really talk about
yeah.
that. I mean, I have a Holocaust. Sailor, she's still alive, thank God.
That's
she's
why
80
I said
years
it.
Old. Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I never, you know, we haven't done that, you know. And that would be a good idea, something like that.
I just think about these things and they just write them as I'm saying them.
Yep.
Ken, where can we find you and what's next?
You can find me by just Googling me. There's only one Kenneth Wien, W-E-E-N-E. I also have a website, www.kennethwien.com. And, of course, you can always come look for me at the Do Drop In. I'll probably be there. And I'm also on Serial Office, which is one of my favorites. I do want to mention one other thing. You know, I co-host on Thursday night another blog radio show. It's called It Matters. This Thursday, it's at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And this Thursday, we're doing our Christmas show, and we do something a little different because we're not just writers. We do music. We do public events. Last week we did a thing that we were the first non-Native American media spot to discuss the use of Agent Orange on Native American reservations. So, I mean, we're talking about heavy-duty stuff.
Yeah, because I think some of those topics are good, right, you know, because sometimes I think people think that, right, that's why I have breast cancer shows, different shows, because it's not always about books. You know, it's just discussion sometimes. Yeah, that works.
Yeah. How late is your show, Ken? It's past my bedtime, probably.
Oh, you'll be sleeping, Fran.
It's at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Uh-oh.
No, it should be 9 a.m. Eastern.
There's no way.
But, of course, it's broad talk, so people can listen to the archives, too.
No, I was going to say...
That's something I want to point out about to you, Fran, going back to our discussion of the marketing group. If you should be using the archives for your shows as tweets, as blurbs,
I could actually do that, or you could do that because you're so good at it. I was so glad that Ken, you know, I send him the blurbs before I post them because you know they have to be perfect, and some of the people I didn't realize dropped out, and I have the master list in Word, so every time somebody drops out, I just delete their email, and then I just, for some reason, I can't get it into my address book, so I do it however I do it. And I do my very best to post everything. It's just that with my niece being sick and everything the last couple of, you know, last 3 weeks, I've been kind of behind. But I have been posting everything.
Send it to me, and I'll get it out to them.
I'll send it to you, and then maybe we could put this show as one of my blurbs. That if you could figure out how to whatever we can write.
All of our shows are on iTunes too.
He's gonna figure that one out.
World of Ink
on demand,
iTunes.
Right?
Every one of it. Yeah, your shows are on there from World of Ink.
My timer is telling me that I have to close up. But wait a minute, I got to. Marcia has to tell everybody where she is, but where we could find her, which is everywhere.
Which is www.michiganavenuemedia.com and www.worldofinknetwork.com and with our new sites with author Bethany Cross and Madison Montgomery. We have that blog and author talk romance. Bethany, are you there? Is she there? She probably can't hear her. She's not on.
She's been emailing me. She's been getting bumped off a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you on
talk
January.
Romance, the author talk romance.
Go on.
.blogspot.com. I have so many different sites, but you can always find me at MarciaCasperCook.com. And if you have any questions or you want me to send you to some place that will get you, you know, that will help you to do whatever you need to do. My number is on there, you know, on my website, and you can call me, and I can tell you where to go before you end up going to somebody that is going to charge you, and you're not going to get what you want.
She's right. Now, if you want to come hear us again, I'm taking a break till January 10th. So that, you know, the next practical joke will be, I'm not going to tell you when. January 10th, I'm going to have best-selling author Cheryl Bradshaw. I've got A Secret and Eco-Literate, which is a book about the environment. On January 16th, Eric Sonnenschein, Ed Nomad, and David Derricott is going to talk about internal security. And, David, I will email you the questions before the show because normally that's what I do except for today when I didn't do it. And on January 17th at 4, John Augustine, and he wrote a real-life story, two books about his life and being married and what went wrong and what went right. It should be interesting.
Yes, he was on my show. Yes, he was.
Yes, you do know. And maybe you would like to come on that one with me. That might be fun. January 24th, I'm going to best-selling author Alan Topol, The Spanish Revenge, and best-selling author of the Sean Tao series, Ellie Patterson, coming back. And on January 31st, I'm going to be talking to a POW from the Vietnam War, The Warrior's Silence, Ward Elliott. Delaney's supposed to get me her book, so she's supposed to come on the show to talk about it. Even if I don't read it, you can come on and talk about it anyway.
Alrighty.
Yeah, Paulette Murchison is coming on The Persecution of Mildred Dunlap. And because of the technical difficulties, there's a possibility that Rebecca Coleman might come on just to talk about her book again so we could talk about post-traumatic stress syndrome. And then, Ken, if you're there, you could talk about your short story. And that should be fun. February 7th, New York Times bestselling author. I just got an email, John Land. And if all goes well, February 14th, Sandra Brown. That's all I got. What can I say for right now? You can find me by Googling me, and that's all you need to know about that. My review site on is reviewing your book. If you are an author and you post positive comments like we do, positive reviews, and want to get yourself out there and put your events and links and beautiful pictures and anything about your books that you want, tag me on Facebook or ask to be on it. And if you are an author, those are the people that are invited to join it. And on that note, does anybody have anything else? Delaney, wait a minute. You have a show tomorrow because I'm not doing Red River. You are. You're doing it on tomorrow.
Right,
my time, right.
Right? Oh, I'm going to be talking to, well, if everybody shows up, which I'm not so sure about, I'll be talking to Darren Fry, Gloria Galway, and Donna Koziak-Small, and she's the only one that I know for sure is going to be there is Donna. But if the other two forget and don't show up,
well, you know,
then
Christmas time,
I
that's
will
why,
be...
That's one of the problems, Christmas time. That's
yeah.
Well, Darren was supposed
to
be on
the
show. He got sick. He had surgery. So,
okay.
A shout out to Darren Fry, because I read Blood Reapers. It's excellent. And he was supposed to be on the show 2 weeks ago, and I'm not sure if he's recovered
yet. Well,
I'm
glad you told me because I didn't know what had happened with him. Well, if the other two can't make it, then Christina and I will be sharing our books and talking about our stuff, and we are going to have fun because I'm going to read the part from Dulcet. I don't know how many of you have read it, but I'm going to read the part from Dulcet where Father Barry's talking with a broken nose, and it's hysterical. So,
it's going to be good.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right, thank you, Fran, for the honor.
You're very, very welcome, everybody. And everybody have a nice night, and we'll see you when
good,
we see
happy
you.
Happy holiday, and World of Ink will be back in January.
Yes, and so will all of us.
You
too.
Great,
thank
great.
You so much, everyone, for being on the show. I really appreciate
thanks
it.
For
I emailed everybody.
Thanks for having us.
You're
thank
very
you,
welcome. This was fun. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.